AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Eric, a quick little bit of news here. We are going to be taking some time off. I am, at least. We're going to be having some great fill-ins coming in. Tomorrow is a brand new to you show. Two authors that we recorded, so listen for that show. And then we're taking all next week off. We'll be back on the 26th of August to take you through the rest of the state fair. We're looking forward to that. So basically, thanks to all the people that are going to fill in. And Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day outside.
It is absolutely quite lovely out right now. I do want to make sure we touch on the news that is breaking right now, which is namely that Donald Trump did something I have never seen a president do. He basically worked with badmouth U.S. Congress people to a foreign leader and told them not to allow them into the foreign country. I've never even heard of that. When this happened, it brought up the mind that I need to get Cliff Schechter on in here. Of course, Cliff Schechter, a fan favorite here, Unprecedented, the podcast. And also, we should mention before we get going on this, Cliff, that you have your new data research, digital marketing, public relations group that you're working with, right?
I do. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Matt, as always.
My pleasure.
GSB is the firm, and just our last names in initials, because we're really creative. easy way to go. But I've been doing PR for a long time. In the past, I worked in polling, and I think data is so important that someone in, some folks from the world of Procter & Gamble, which is big in Cincinnati here, who've done corporate research and are far ahead of, I think, what a lot of folks are doing in the political world, came to me and they had some amazing, ideas, and it all just sort of came together. And I feel like after Cambridge Analytica in 2016, we need to more understand data and do a better job. And when we're being surpassed by the science denying Republicans, we're in trouble. So, we've got some clients already, none in Minnesota yet, but if you're a Minnesotan and you're listening and you need some answers, I'm here to give them to you.
By all means. We'll have some links to this, by the way, too, and I'll make sure those all get posted up there. I should make sure I mention all the rest of it as well. He's advised campaigns, political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast and The New Republic, which you had that great piece we posted last week on. And Cliff, let's get into this right now, because I have never heard of a president doing this, that Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, who's an extreme hardliner, is basically saying that the two brand new freshman Muslim women Congress people who were going to visit Israel are now not welcome. Before that happened, Donald Trump sent him a note saying, do not let them in. I have never heard of anything like this, especially from the guy who's supposed to be the great uniter and bring this country together. This is outright racism. It's outright bigotry. It's misogynist. And it's I've never heard of a president siding with a foreign leader in a foreign country over their own congresspeople in my life.
I mean, there's so many different ways I want to go with this. First of all, congrats to the New York Times for that headline on Trump choosing unity over racism. Solid one in a long history now of really being very smart and savvy about when Donald Trump says something versus what he actually believes and does. Secondly, you're right. And it's how many times have we said this in this presidency? How many times have we found ourselves saying no other president has ever done X or done Y? What people fail to recognize and what my problem, and I get that, Nancy Pelosi probably thinks she's protecting some of the more conservative members of her caucus. I think that she, in their view of things, is failing to understand the political world we live in, which is you motivate people to come out and vote for you by standing for something. So you don't impeach the guy. You kind of stay lay back and whatever. The problem is that not only are they wrong, but the damage is ongoing. It's not just the laws he passes and all that. In fact, it's much more than that. His behavior, he is morally, intellectually, in every way, so unfit for that job, so unfit for the job that he holds. And, you learn it with this kind of stuff all the time, precedent and sort of smart, you know, being smart and thinking strategically about your behavior, even if you're sort of someone who has nasty politics that we disagree with. And there are plenty of those guys. But there was always this acceptance that that sort of on some level the commander-in-chief had to rise above all of this stuff because you are the commander-in-chief. And, I mean, again, like, there's no depths to which this guy won't sink. You know, he's done it in his own personal life. There's no business he can't bankrupt. There's no marriage he can't ruin. There's no porn star he can't, which I won't say because this is a nice family radio show. I mean, he you know, there's no contractor he can't stiff. He's a walking disaster. He's walking chaos. He's literally the embodiment of the seven deadly sins and everything wrong. Everything the Bible was supposed to have warned against, he is. And they protect this guy and leave him in office. And the Democrats haven't done what's necessary to throw him out. And this is the end result. This is so damaging to our country. It's damaging to foreign relations. And let me say one more thing, which is, you know, somebody, as I guess theoretically, I'm an American Jew. I always feel weird saying that because, you know, I don't remember. I think I haven't been in a temple since I was about 12. And so I feel like I'm being fake claiming it. But I guess Jews are an ethnic group, too. So technically, I'm one of them. And, you know, I will never go to Israel, certainly while Benjamin Netanyahu is there. They have lost me. I, as a real politic guy, somebody I've always been willing to criticize Israel harshly. And when I felt they have not taken care about human life, but I've also been one of the people who's been willing to defend them when I think people are not giving them proper credit for that there's terrorist threats at their border constantly and the threats to people's lives daily there in a way we don't live because we have an ocean between us and those kinds of threats. And I will say, though, they have lost me. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're losing people like me. My podcast partner, John Aravosis, who has been a guy who's been a very pro-Israel, realpolitik kind of foreign policy guy in the past. We're both people that went to grad school for foreign policy. It was something we studied and took seriously. You've lost me. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Netanyahu is nothing but an aspiring fascist along the same lines as Donald Trump and Bolsonaro, you know, and Orban. He's the same as them. He's a blight on this world. He's a blight on Israel. And the sooner he's no longer in that office, you know, they will be better for it as well as us.
You know, there is this, I think you echo what a lot of us feel. Yeah, we want Israel to be safe, and we understand their circumstances very different than a lot of our other circumstances. But this idea that you can't say anything about how the Palestinians are being treated, And if you do, you're screamed at as being anti-Semitic, or if in the case of yourself, you know, a traitor to the Jewish people, is bizarre. And this idea that you're going to stop Ilhan Omar and Tlaib coming on in, the you know how crazy this is? AIPAC says that Netanyahu should let them in, that they disagree with them, but you should not limit this and discriminate on this level. How does anyone look at this other than, you know, and we understand Netanyahu's, you know, is I think just kind of kowtowing to Trump, but how does anyone look at what Trump has done here and say it is anything but just bigotry towards Muslim women?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt. It's bigotry. I mean, gee, why did he pick those two?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, it's bigotry towards Muslim women. It's bigot. It's the othering of Americans and saying it's further another sort of notch in his white supremacy belt of saying, you know, here's another time where he's purposely saying you don't belong to this country. Go back to those crime infested countries you're from. You know, Tlaib is what from Detroit.
Yeah.
It's. Essentially, they're doing all of that, but, you know, so that's on one level. But then they're breaking these rules about how, you know, I mean, again, the only thing, you know, democracies are not just based on law. They're based on precedent. They're based on accepted behavior. They're based on the fact that we all have to accept that we don't get 100% of what we want. We disagree. We fight it out. But that it's solved in the political arena, because if it's not, it ends up being solved in a very different arena known as war, you know, which is basically, the Republican Party for 30 years now has been less and less accepting of that, has been more and more of what Norm Ornstein, you know, an AEI scholar who was once a Republican, called an insurgent outlier, an extremist organization. But this is just another step. I mean, we're now talking about somebody telling a foreign country that the sitting members of Congress of their own country should not be allowed in, and then that foreign country goes and does that. You know, I mean, it's against every rule of how this republic and our president is supposed to conduct himself. Like, they've politicized everything. Our courts, the press, and now this foreign policy is now being fully politicized to a point of where, you know, this is how democracies fall. You know, it's disturbing on a whole lot of levels, quite frankly, you know. And I mean, again, like, it's just another one of these times. And then I look at Netanyahu, and I'm sorry, but again, like, that worries me just as much, is that we have these sort of Trump-like figures or Putin-like figures or whatever you want to call them, who were in numerous what were once traditional democracies. I mean, Netanyahu's been indicted. He's still sitting around there for corruption. You know, it's like, what's his name? Sloppy Mick don't comb his hair taking over in England or United Kingdom. You know,
Boris.
Their leader.
Boris.
I mean, yeah, I know, I just couldn't help myself. I mean, like, you know, that aspiring fascist idiot that led the whole Brexit thing, because that was always about his ride to becoming prime minister. That's what there was always about. He switched his position on. He didn't know how the hell he felt about it. He's another populist demagogue. You know, and these folks are taking power in major Western countries. That should scare people.
Well, and, you know? And one of the things that, and I sent you an article, the Raw Story article, about Tom Emmer, who's not only a congressman here, he's in Bachman's old district, but he's also now the head of the Republican National Congressional Committee. And if you're Jewish or if you're Israel, I don't know who you think you're getting into bed with. But he actually has campaign materials which go on anti-Semitic tropes against, amongst others, George Soros and Michael Bloomberg, talking about how these Jews have bought the Democratic Party and these left-wing radicals essentially bought control of Congress for the Democrats. I mean, it is an old, centuries-old trope of the Jews buying their power.
Sure.
And stuff. And yet here he's doing this. Can you imagine what the media in this country would be like if Ilhan Omar had said anything similar to that? Yet no one covers this. No one says anything about this. And, you know, it's clear anti-Semitic. It's really interesting. The Trump supporter just seems to be like, I'm for Israel. I'm for the Jews, as long as they're discriminating against Muslims. But don't ask them to come sit next to me at the picnic.
Oh.
And exactly.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely. I mean, you know, first of all, yeah, so you sent me a Tom Emmer. I mean, where to go with that, too? Right before the election, Donald Trump literally put together a video he sent out about how the globalists were taking over, which forever has been a term to attack Jews.
Of course.
And who did he highlight in that? Soros, Lloyd Blankenfein, you know, Goldman Sachs, you know, and those, that's who, the only Jews, you know, Janet Yellen, right, former Fed. I mean, that's who was showing up in this video. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, sent out a tweet saying, don't let Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, and George Soros buy the election. Gee, what do they all have in common? I mean, it's every Republican leader, and it's always the same thing. We love Israel. They just hate the Jews here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially, Israel's awesome. And part of that, of course, as most people probably know, is because they support it because the evangelical lunatics, the far right Christian nuts of their party, it says in the Bible that every Jew needs to be back in Israel for all of them to get their express trip to heaven, while the rest of us stay down here and suffer in the fiery hell that becomes of earth. I mean, that's literally what the Bible says. So, like, they're not. It's hilarious. I want to go up to some of the few Republican Jews, and there aren't many of them. They're about 20%. It's gotten smaller since Trump came into power. It used to be about 30% of Jews are Republican. We're at about 20 now. They're going to be like, do you know who you're climbing into bed with? Like, these guys don't only want you in Israel so you can die and they can go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can go into a fiery pit. You know, that's the religious part of it. And then the other part of it is just putting a wedge in the Democratic Party and trying to sort of turn the Democrats into the anti-Semitic party, when these are the guys who are lining up saying, you know, they're good people on both sides. Oh, those ones who are chanting blood and soil and chanting Jews will not replace us. Yeah, I know they're all Republicans, but don't listen to what they say. Don't listen to what Steve King, I'm not even talking about his most recent comment, has had to say about Jews. Don't listen to, you know, to what Kevin McCarthy tweets out and what Donald Trump's video, you know, groups, the videos he puts together. When Steve Bannon comes out in a divorce with his wife, it comes out in the court filings that he said to her he didn't want to send his kids to a specific school because all the spoiled Jews there would, you know, didn't want his kids to be around them. Stephen Miller, who's a self-hating Jew. I mean, and it goes on and on and on. You know, Seb Gorka, who literally was a member of a Hungarian fascist party that has links to the Nazis. Like, they were founded right after World War II by remaining Nazis. And this is where Seb Gorka comes from. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go through all of these guys, they are all tied to international neo-Nazi groups, white supremacists, these old white citizens councils from the South. And like, that's the party that's pro-Jewish? I mean, are you kidding me? So you're going to now Israel, you know, these imbeciles who are running Israel now, you're going to sit there and not allow these two women in? But you're going to allow all these cretins to come into your country?
Yeah.
Are you insane? Do you know why the guy – who was the guy quoting who shot up the temple in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to bring that up too. Yeah, and we haven't even – you didn't even mention the fact that there has been a slaughter in this country of Jews by someone whose mantra was clearly influenced by the current right-wing politics of this country.
He was quoting Trump that George Soros was bringing the caravan.
Exactly.
So Jews had to die. This was the guy who killed Jewish people in their place of worship based upon the words of Donald Trump,
yep.
Echoed by Fox News and others. Like, I mean, so it's clear that you're not a good, you know, actor on the international scene. You're pathetic, Netanyahu and this moron, you know, diplomat who announced it, whose name I can't remember. You're pawns. You're pathetic. And if anything, you are subjugating Jews in this country and internationally to a group of aspiring fascists. So you should be very proud of yourself.
Well, and I will say this, in Minneapolis, at least with Ilhan Omar, now you have the motivation to basically keep sending her back to Congress. So eventually she becomes a leadership position, and then they have to deal with that and their response to that.
And when she said some things to me that had some anti-Semitic tones to them, that, by the way, I don't think she meant. You may remember you had me on your show back then. I criticized her, and I said, you know, I don't think she meant it, but she needs to be careful here because you're playing around with this. And she apologized, unlike any of these Republicans. If Kevin McCarthy had said, you know, I made a mistake, I didn't realize they were all Jews that I was mentioning there, I didn't mean to play into that. Of course he's never said that because they don't care. She apologized, and I accepted her apology at face value. So you know what? I'm going to donate money to her. That's what I'm going to do when I get off this.
Well, and
and everybody else should, because I'm sorry. I know who the people are who can make some mistakes, admit they make some mistakes, but are basically on my side versus the ones who would be happy to march me off and throw me on a train, you know, that ends up in a camp somewhere. And that's the people who are marching in the streets of Charlottesville and chanting things like Jews will not replace us. And that's the base of the Republican Party.
That's people shooting up the El Paso Walmart. I mean, that's
correct.
Exactly. And by the way, and once again, I think you make a good point. Yeah, Ilhan Omar said some things that were wrong, but yet she did very quickly come out and apologize. I want to touch on one other issue with you, and that's Epstein. Obviously, we could get to the murder, suicide that happened there. Yeah. But the reality is, you know, a week after the Republicans got upset with Obama because he said after the shootings, we need to have civility in this country. And they said he was talking about Trump, even though Obama never once mentioned Trump. Trump himself, and the argument was presidents don't attack other presidents. Trump then, when Epstein dies, is insisting that Clinton is somehow involved. I mean, he retweets and then he stands by it, retweeting this conspiracy out of that someone pulled out of their caboose about the Clinton somehow being responsible for killing Epstein.
I mean, again, right? You're just another one of those, you know, examples of something that no other president, save maybe hundreds of, I don't mean, maybe Andrew Johnson, who knows, but In recent American history, no other president has ever said that kind of a thing about another sitting president. They just, or a former president. You don't do that. George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, and for all the negative things and how I feel about various aspects of their presidency, not various aspects of George W.'s, his entire presidency was a disaster. But the other two guys who I mostly would disagree with, even if they look like moderates compared to the current guys. These are just things you didn't and you don't do. And they didn't have Twitter then. But it doesn't matter. They had letters they wrote, and they had TV shows they went on, and they had other ways they communicated with the public through their spokesperson and other ways. And no one ever did that because no one was ever, a white supremacist themselves, a lunatic themselves, a career criminal themselves, thoroughly corrupt themselves, a man of complete dishonor themselves. I could go on the rest of the hour with, you know, this is who Donald Trump is. He's not there by accident. He's there because of Mitch McConnell and Newt Gingrich and the people that plowed the train before him that have been turning the Republican Party into a right-wing personality cult. And that is where we've ended up. So this guy repeats this ridiculousness about Clinton. There's no, I mean, it's a conspiracy theory from a moron, and he goes and repeats it because that's what we've got sitting in the Oval Office right now.
That is.
You know? I mean, I don't know, you know, what else can we say about that? I don't know what happened to Epstein. I don't know if there's something nefarious there or if it's just our criminal justice system, which is a member of the board of the Ohio Innocence Project. I've seen so much of our criminal justice system and lost much faith in because of we don't, it doesn't have the resources and we don't get the people out who shouldn't be in these positions. And God knows all the things that might have just gone wrong because they went wrong. But of course, there could also be something that we've, you know, who knows? That's the thing is, when you're dealing with this guy as president and the Republicans are in control right now, it's kind of hard to take anything they say at face value. Uh-huh. So I have no idea.
Your Indians are going to beat, or the New York Yankees are going to beat up on the Cleveland Indians for us, right?
I hope so. I mean, you and I, you know, we're talking about the president unity and all that. Here's where you and I, Matt, can have some unity. We can come together in wanting to beat up the Cleveland Indians, and therefore have a playoff where my New York Yankees meet your Minnesota Twins, and your team hits 847 home runs off of our starting pitching.
And gives up 850 to with her relief pitching.
Possibly, but I am confident seeing your lineup and how you're going to destroy our home run record from, you know, all the way back to last year.
Yeah.
At the very least, I'd be perfectly, you know, happy if somehow, I mean, I don't want to lose to anyone, but if we lost to you guys, at least we're entertaining because you were launching home runs. You know, I mean, that's better than other ways to lose. So I hope we beat up on them and help you guys, and then we'll meet in the playoffs. And, you know, either the Yankees win or I can pull for the Minnesota Twins. I can do it.
Cliff, I appreciate joining us on short notice. Outstanding, as always. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Always my pleasure, and thanks for having me on, Matt.
My pleasure. Take care. Cliff Schechter joining us. We're going to spotlight that one. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are on at 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday. We feature artists, musicians, raconteurs, private detectives, and more. 6 p.m. Saturday night on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's show starts with highlighting an idealist, federal judge Damon Keith, whose grandparents had been slaves. The big interview is with Daniel Blake, an idealist who will share an incredible story of survival and reprogramming following a series of strokes. I promise Dan will inspire you. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
And I want to give you an idea of the mentality of the Republican Party. Mo Brooks, Republican from representative from Alabama. Like many nations, Israel bars enemies from entering Israel. How can anyone disagree with that? Israel bans Representative Omar and Tlaib because they hate and want to hurt, maybe even destroy Israel. I respect and support Israel's sovereignty right to exist. Mo. Hey, Mo, you racist jackass. It's hilarious that you think that you're standing up for tolerance by being incredibly intolerant of Muslims and Muslim women, for that matter. And you're making up, you're pulling stuff out of your butt, Mo, with that, which is just amazing. But this is the Republican Party today. We love Israel because they hate the Muslims and they hate their Arab neighbors. We love them, but we don't want Jews anywhere near us. I mean, that is your modern Republican Party. And when Cliff is talking about the shooter in Pittsburgh, directly quoting Trump, he's right. These people are being influenced by the right. For God's sakes, AIPAC disagrees with this decision. AIPAC is, to say that that's an extremist group is insane. And they're like, whoa, what are you doing? This is, and what this is Trump is panicking because he knows that, I mean, even Fox News has his numbers going down even more. And so this is him basically trying to find, he's trying to wallow in his base. That's all he's trying to do is wallow in his base. I got to tell you the truth. I have never been so disappointed in my government, my leaders. Where the hell are Pelosi and Steny Hoyer right now? Where the hell are you guys? You should be out there with a podium on the Capitol steps, smacking a shoe on the thing, screaming at the top of your lungs. Instead, I imagine it's, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Crap. Jesus. Going to hell in a handbasket, and the Democratic leadership is like, isn't it just, it's warming up nicely, isn't it? Dear God. Where are the leaders of this party? And for God's sakes, all you have to do is go after Tom Emmer for his anti-Semitic comments. This is, how are you missing this easy of a layup? How? God, Democratic leadership could screw up free ice cream day. They just could screw up free ice cream day. It's a mailing it in day today. When I do return, Quinn Nystrom, advocate for diabetes and the Emergency Insulin Act. She'll join us here to talk about the latest on her fight for the Emergency Insulin Act, which the Republicans in Minnesota have stopped from going into effect. And they don't seem to be too interested in getting it going again. We'll talk about that in just a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Dad, don't make me do what you made Charlie do.
You want to drive, right?
Fine. My dad is cooler than all YouTube and Instagram celebrities combined. Matt McNeil.
That's lit.
Whatever. I'm getting ready to start my behind-the-wheel driver's training, and my dad says the only vehicles he wants me learning in are Toyotas. Fine with me, because I love them, too.
The vehicles I trust for my young children are the vehicles I trust for their own driving adventure. It's safety and security you can't beat. Test drive a fantastic Toyota today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 west of the downtown in Golden Valley.
Have you tuned in to Mission Accomplishers yet? Saturdays at 7 p.m., hosted by the fellas Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson. You don't want to miss out, so subscribe on your podcast app of choice, Apple, Google, Stitcher. We release extended editions of the show, talks, interviews that you can only find via podcast. Pull up Apple Podcasts now, type in Mission Accomplishers, subscribe, rate us, and give feedback, and we'll read your feedback on the air. Mission Accomplishers, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Indeed, fantastic burgers over at Burger Mo's. Great variety there. You know, it comes down to it. You just got to cook them right, and they do. And that's what it is. They just taste delicious. A lot of great varieties there, from traditional to they got a great blue cheeseburger. They've got there's one that's stacked high. You just got to go see it to believe it. It's fantastic. West 7th Street, right by the X. It is Burger Mo's, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Quinn Nystrom is kind enough to join us. She is an advocate for diabetes awareness. She's also been the point person here dealing with the Emergency Insulin Act, the failure of the Emergency Insulin Act to pass in the Minnesota Senate, with the Senate Republicans deciding to not try to save diabetics' lives inexplicably. Also, she's been a real champion. She's been taking people across into Canada to buy insulin, which is god-awful expensive here in the United States, but is sold at a much more reasonable rate in Canada, and she's been leading some trips up to that. She's kind enough today to talk about the continued fight here. Hi, Quinn.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me again.
My pleasure. Have you, you know, you got a lot of publicity off of that. I actually saw you on the news channel Newsy. As a matter of fact, I saw they had
wow.
You were on news channel Newsy, and you were out of Chicago, and they were they had you, they were talking to one of the people that went to Canada with you to buy the drugs, and you were sitting right in the background. I was like, hey, there's Quinn right there. So you got a lot of publicity on that. I mean, I got to imagine there's a lot of people who are diabetics who might try to be in touch with you saying, hey, when are you doing your next trip?
Yeah, honestly, ever since going to Canada this last time with Bernie Sanders, I mean, I have gotten a flood of messages from people saying, when are you going again? And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I had never sort of planned these things. I'm not a professional trip planner. I never even went to Canada to get my insulin prior to May, when I had responded to a post of somebody who was going themselves. That was the first time I ever went to go and get my own insulin, but I have, you know, led subsequent trips there out of the absolute desperate need of Americans who are dying, because insulin is 12 times more expensive here in America than it is in Canada. And so I personally feel like, how can I not go and help lead these trips? Because I want to save absolutely every life that I can, with the knowledge that I now have about going to Canada to buy this insulin.
We had in Minnesota a bill up that was going to provide emergency insulin. The problem is that diabetics are working their cabooses off, but the drug companies that make this insulin, they charge, America is their prime market, so henceforth, we get charged 12 times more here for the same product than they do in Canada and other countries as well. We talked about the tragic story of Jesse Shearer Radcliffe, who died. This was a diabetic. He was rationing his insulin because he couldn't afford it, even though he was working two jobs. He passed away. I kept saying to myself, at some point, this has got to sink into these people who claim that they, you know, with their religion all the time, they wear it on their sleeve, that this has got, that they have people's lives in their hands. It's been disappointing to see the Republicans still refusing, and primarily Paul Gazelka, the Senate Majority Leader, refusing to go into the Senate and get a special session going. We know that the governor's on board with this. We know that the Democratic House Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman's on board with this. This is really the Republicans in the Senate that are holding this up. They got into St. Paul the other day. That was about, though, basically a full investigation into what was going on with Health and Human Services management. And I just keep saying to myself, you know, what does it take? People's lives are on the line. What does it take for you guys to do your job? I just, that's where we're at today.
Correct. And I thought, along with you, Matt, and I think so many Minnesotans, that, okay, if a couple more people die, maybe that's what it's going to take to turn the tide, right? Mm-hmm. That they have to see some more people die, you know, in recent weeks to see that this is happening, this is a present issue, and sadly, not even with Jesse's death has it turned the tides. And we know the day before we had our insulin roundtable yesterday, You know, I have to give credit where credit is due. Senator Jensen, you know, who's a Republican senator, he asked at the end of the hearing, you know, this is all on tape, so none of this is made up. Everybody can go and look at this on public record. He asked Senator Michelle Benson, who is the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee, he asked her, you know, I think we need to have a hearing on the Alex Smith emergency insulin bill, which still we have not yet ever gotten a hearing, though we begged all session to Michelle Benson to have a hearing. He once again, you know, he stepped out amongst a party that has not been willing to have a hearing. He asked her, and she once again said no. I mean, she would not agree to a hearing at that moment. And it is beyond frustrating. And I also want to make this clear, because it was beyond frustrating. We had Senator Pratt show up yesterday at our insulin roundtable. And again, I'm happy that we have Republicans and Democrats coming together to discuss this issue. But he said pretty much, you know, this was political theater by the Democrats, that people needed to put their sabers down, and that the governor was fundraising off this issue, and, you know, how terrible this has been, right? And what was frustrating is, and he said that we were making this false narrative of Gazelka and Benson, and it's like, I don't know if he didn't see the video of Benson once again saying she's not calling a hearing. And it's just very frustrating on our side, and we have, I will say, in our group, we have Republicans. There are Republican diabetics in the state of Minnesota. So, you know, this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. I will restate that again. And it's just very frustrating when he wanted to come in to this insulin roundtable. And in my opinion, he wanted to make political theater out of this.
Well, and that's, and you just nailed it, Quinn. He's going after you, calling it political theater, because it's an issue they're losing on, and he knows it. That's why he goes out and accuses people of having ulterior motives, when the second issue is, we're just trying to save human beings' lives. And then there's the obvious thing that that Pratt and Benson and Gazelka just don't want to realize. You can make this all go away tomorrow by having the special session and passing this Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act, and no one will talk about it again. But yet, because they are so determined, and you talked about how many people have to die, and I'm a cynic to a point when it comes to the politics, and you know that. This is me saying, this is not you, Quinn. They had a shooting in an elementary school, and they didn't do anything about it, because that's just, I don't know what it will take for these people to say, you have human beings' lives in your hands, you can save these human beings with a minimal investment, and yet they just don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it is so upsetting, and it's so frustrating as diabetes advocates. And he made these comments after diabetes advocates were at this roundtable, and they were pouring out their hearts. We had some diabetics who were sobbing because of this issue being a life or death thing for them. And he had the audacity of saying, you know, why do I even come to these things and listen to these stories? And it was so upsetting, you know, and I just thought, well, then don't show up. Don't show up. And, you know, I think Representative Howard made a very good point after his comment. He said, how do you want us to, you know, even have a conversation if people in your party don't even want to show up to have the conversation with us? So, again, I would be happy. Howard would be thrilled if Senator Gazelka came to the table to have a discussion. We can't get Senator Gazelka to show up to a meeting. We can't get Senator Benson to hold a hearing or to have a discussion with us on this. That has been the problem. That is why it's been stalled. Senator Abler, Senator Jensen, they have tried to call, you know, for a discussion, but it's just two of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
you know, it's not enough.
And I will say this about Jensen, because he has been very, I mean, he was one of the first people that was saying this is a good idea. He did, though, indeed, you know, vote along with the rest of the Republicans when it came time to kill this. And it should be mentioned there, he did announce he's retiring. He's not going to run again. But I think that, you know, when I feel sorry for Jensen because he is, you know, he you can tell the guy wants to do, in this case, with this bill, he wants to do the right thing and save people's lives, but his party is saying there's no political gain for us to save poorer people who have to work really hard, who are dying of a curable problem. There's no political gain for us to do it because it would make the pharmaceutical companies too upset. Henceforth, we're going to completely and totally ignore this or demand a massive tax break before that we'll decide to save other people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, again, I don't know what it's going to take because all the above has happened. And, you know, our group has fought like hell to get stuff to happen. And, you know, like Nicole Smith-Holt said yesterday, our group does absolutely everything we can in our power to keep people alive, right? That shouldn't be our job. That should be the government's job, right? To protect the citizens of this state. That's why we elect them to office. And it is so disheartening to then see them be more interested in profits or protecting corporations. And, you know, to Gazelka and to Pratt and to the rest of them who want to say, you know, this is the political whatever. You know, so what? I'm a Democrat? Yeah. I'm a single-issue voter because I'm all about life or death. I'd like to stay alive, Matt, you know? And well, so would the rest of the people with diabetes.
Is this just a cynic? I mean, and I'm going to ask this once again as the cynic. Is this just the Republicans wanting to be treated like the conquering hero returning into the gate? And that if we look at them and say, hey, we'll praise you, we will say thank you if you just call the emergency session. I mean, I can't figure out why in the world they're doing this outside of that they're trying to make it either, you know, something theatrical at the beginning of the next session or that they want us to, I don't know, get outside of their offices on our knees and beg them to go back and make them feel like that they are somehow bequeathing us with their glory. I don't know, but I cannot for the life of me figure out with a minimal cost, which is really not going to break anyone's bank, how in the world we are not doing this because people are dying, for God's sakes.
Well, and again, I would be thrilled if Gazelka just wanted to sit down. And even if that was a closed-door meeting with Speaker Hortman and Governor Waltz, where the three of them convened and they could have a constructive dialogue. And again, I understand negotiations are all about give and take. And us diabetes advocates completely understand that, Matt. So we may understand, again, at the end of the day, okay, maybe the pharmaceutical companies won't pay 100%, okay? Even though that's what we would like. We understand the negotiations. We may not get that, okay? But again, if Gazelka won't come to the table, nothing's going to move. Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand why they won't come to the table at all because, again, I think it makes them look absolutely heartless. And the longer they, you know, procrastinate, the worse they look.
No, absolutely. And by the way, for the record, I cannot, you know, when they are charging 12 times the cost for Americans, U.S. citizens, to get the same drug the Canadians get for 1/12 the cost that we pay for it, I'm sorry that this is, they can pay for this. They don't need that 19th jet ski. They don't, the pharma executives, they don't need that 19th jet ski. They don't need that 17th vacation property. They can basically, you know, they can basically pay for this. I think that, I don't know, that's it just boggles the mind. But yeah, once again, and I want to make sure I point out, Benson and the rest of these Republicans ran to St. Paul when they thought they could try to make some political hay a la the Senate office building. And in regards to the leadership change at Health and Human Services, I said, where's this motivation to save human beings' lives? And yet this is just disappointing. Yeah. This is just disappointing.
Yeah. It's, again, I mean, we just, and what was even more crushing was Jesse's mother showed up yesterday at our round table. She was not able to speak, you know, because it's only been just over 40 days since she buried her son. But Jesse's godfather got up and spoke. And I mean, he was just, you know, he broke down several times. And, you know, he said, you know, my godson did not die of insulin rationing. He died because of the prohibited cost of insulin in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he said, if this bill had been passed, rest assured, Jesse would still be alive. You know,
just let that sink in, everyone. If the Republicans would have passed this bill, Jesse would be alive. And the right now, there are people as we speak who are rationing their insulin, who are working 2-3 jobs, and they still can't afford the drug that's dangled in front of them like a carrot in front of a mule, a life needing drug that they can't afford, not because that they're being slackers, but because the pharma executives are dangling in front of them saying you got to pay more. And the Republicans in the state are saying, so what, a few people die. I can't comprehend that. Quinn, I'm going to drive people. QuinnNystrom.com. That's QuinnNystrom.com. I'm sure you have updates, and you'll keep people up to date on your website, right?
Absolutely. Yep. They can go there and find all my information and all my social media pages where I keep people up to date on all this.
I look forward to the time, and I would love it if the next time you and I talk, we're talking about a bill that got passed. And for Republicans, we'll give you that praise. The next time, if you just get this dang thing passed so that the next time we have Quinn on, we can just talk about how we are saving people's lives now. Please, I beg of you, if you have a heart, please do that. Quinn, I will chat with you before too long, okay?
I would love that, Matt. Thank you so much for helping us raise awareness on this critical human rights issue.
My absolute pleasure. My absolute pleasure. My God, let's try to save some people's lives. Wow, what a concept. Quinn Nystrom, kind enough to join us once again. QuinnNystrom.com. I'll link to that a little bit later on. Let's spotlight that one as well. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Taking prescription medication should not be a scary task. The staff at St. Paul Corner Drug makes certain you know everything about your prescription medication before you leave the pharmacy. Knowing what to expect and when and how to take your prescriptions gives you the confidence to safely take your medication and maintain good health. Should additional questions arise, we are here to help sort things out. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be, at stpaulcornerdrug.com.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal.
Hackers, ransomware, security breaches. As I speak, cyber criminals are stepping up their attacks on businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark. Rimark has the expertise and experience necessary to navigate your company to safe water. We launch our process with a network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. And it's free. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment today.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I want to make sure we mention, because we were talking about Pratt, the Republican who shows up at this event that they're having and is he's District 55. This is a guy we can win this seat back. This is on the north side of St. Paul. This is a district we can win. This is, as a matter of fact, a district I'm surprised isn't Democrat already. How callous do you have to be to walk into a room of people describing their suffering because they can't afford insulin, and you look at them and basically say, "Shut up! Shut up! Losers! You're making this political! For God's sakes. Can we vote Pratt his ass out of the Senate, for God's sakes? Just for that jerkish move alone. Hey, Eric. Is it Eric Pratt? I think is his name. Not you, Eric. I think it's Senator Pratt. Senator Pratt, let me just say this to you. I'm on the side of Christianity, you know, saving people's lives. And if you claim to be Christian, which you probably do because you're a Republican, well, then get off your ass and read that Bible you keep flapping in people's faces and save some people's lives, you jerk. God, you suck. 952-946-6205. Two things here. First of all, let's talk about this is the CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol. Brian Jennings says it's time to get angry over Trump's administration. This is the Association of Ethanol saying it's time to get angry over Trump. This is a quote. Had the 2016 presidential election turned out differently, had the Clinton EPA granted 85 small refinery exemptions and ignored the statutory requirement to reallocate those gallons, rural Americans would not turn the other cheek, Jennings says. So why are so many of us willing to turn the cheek when the Trump EPA does this? Now, I'm not telling you who to vote for in 2020, but I'm telling you now is the time to get angry about this and to make noise about this and to stand up and speak about this and the harm this is doing to our industry. Wow, finally, here's a Republican that has woken up and said, you know what? Yeah, if Hillary Clinton was doing this, we would be livid. And yet, you know, we're not saying anything. Finally, WSAW-TV reports that several months ago, Thomas Nelson of Wausau found a bunker with a log door carved into an embankment on the state land of a township of Ringle west of Wausau, about 145 miles north of Madison, the state capital. He came to curious and returned the bunker Friday morning to see what was inside. The door was unlatched. He went inside. He discovered 44-year-old Jeremiah Button had disappeared February 2016, just weeks before he was scheduled to be stand trial on child sexual assault and child pornography charges. I pushed the door open. I looked inside, and you could see canned food in the storage boxes. I got to go in. I came around the corner, and there he is lying in his bed. I mean, I was shaking when I went in, shaking when I went out. He moved away, called police, guiding them to the bunker's door. A 20-minute standoff later, and Button has surrendered. Guy was getting ready to be sentenced. And he goes and buries himself underground for 3 freaking years. Wow. Reminder, I am gone the next week here. I've got a best of show, brand new to you. Doug Hoverson has got a great book coming out about the history of beer in Wisconsin. I talked to him. And Kurt Brown, the history writer for the Star Tribune, 1918 is a great book he's got out. That's tomorrow. Guest host all next week. We're back on Monday the 26th. Have a wonderful time here, and I'll talk to you in a little bit. See ya.